Turn with me in your Bibles to the prophet Micah, chapter 7. Prophet Micah, chapter 7. I'll read from verse 8. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he pleads my case and executes judgment for me, justice for me. He will bring me forth to the light. I will see his righteousness. And then verse 14. Shepherd your people with your staff, the flock of your heritage, who dwell solitarily in a woodland in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead, as in days of old. God's reply is, as in the days when you came out of the land of Egypt, I will show them wonders. And that refers to a second exodus for the people of Israel, a second exodus for the forgiven people of Israel. And then verse 18 through 20. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham, which you have sworn to our fathers from days of old. Here is God's crowning mercy. As one old writer put it, it is God's crowning mercy to forgive sinners. God has mercies for all his creation. In the Psalms and in other scriptures, we read about God's mercies that are so freely given. And as we read together, he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends his rain on the just and on the unjust. But he has also salvation mercies for his own people. And in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, we hear God's saved people, those that have repented of their sins and accepted the Lord Yeshua as their Savior. This is what they sing in Revelation 1, verse 5 and 6. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And the result of forgiveness is abiding peace with God. Therefore, says the scripture in Romans chapter 5, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach. The context of this seventh chapter of Micah is one of judgment, and that is followed by a declaration of forgiveness and of mercy. So we look at this in order. First of all, verse 18. Here is God forgiving his people's sins. And it is a forgiveness that doesn't require any action on our behalf. We cannot earn our salvation. It is entirely of grace. And that's how the prophet brings it out here. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? We see God here pardoning iniquity. What is iniquity? Iniquity is the source of all wrong actions, of all evil. It's the evil disposition within every human being, an inclination to do what God disapproves of doing. That's what iniquity is. It is the root of sin, but God takes it away. Who is a God like you pardoning iniquity? It's not a pardon that's given just once, but one that is continually bestowed on the repentant sinner. He takes away the root of sin. He takes away also the fruit of sin, and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. Do you notice the verbs are in the present continuous tense? Pardoning iniquity, passing over the transgression of the remnant and of his heritage. God forgives and God forgets. It's an action that continues daily. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1. That is God's forgiveness. Then, secondly, who are the beneficiaries of God's forgiveness? They are called here in verse 18 a remnant. That is to say, not everybody, because not everyone will apply for the benefit. The remnant of God's heritage, the benefits, the beneficiaries are not only part of mankind, but they are also those whom God takes for his own family. So they are called his heritage. You and I who have repented of our sins are God's heritage. These are the beneficiaries, anyone who has repented of their sins. Thirdly, what does God do for us? He not only forgives us, but he cleans us up. Forgiveness is cleaning us up, as it were, from the outside. But he puts in us a new heart, a new spirit, and that by that he begins to clean us up from the inside, in this life and in the next. This process is called sanctification. He will, verse 19, he will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. Or literally, he will repent. This follows our repentance. God says to you and to me, if you repent, I will repent of the punishment I sought to punish you with. He will again have compassion on us. He repents of the evil that he brings upon us for our sins. Here is how he puts it in the prophet Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8. It's a rhetorical question. Verse 4. Moreover, you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, will they fall and not rise? Will one turn away and not return? And the answer to those questions is, both of these questions is in the negative. Will they fall? Yes, they will fall. And so they did fall. But the question goes on, will they fall and not rise? And that the answer is no. They will rise again. Remember Simeon, when he took the baby Yeshua in his arms, he said to Joseph and Miriam, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. So maybe for a time in our experience, we stumbled at the claims of Yeshua to be our Savior. But there's a time, the time came where we repented of our opposition and received him as our Messiah. And when God says in the Jeremiah 8:4, will one turn away and not return? That means I have turned away from my people, but not forever. God turns his back on his people in displeasure, but not forever. Will one turn away and not return? The answer is, surely I who have turned away will turn back towards my people. He will again, verse 19 of Micah, he will again have compassion on us. Isn't that what Jeremiah says in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 22 and 23? Lamentations 3, verse 22 and 23. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Do you notice they are new? When? In the evening? Midday? No, at the very beginning of the day. As it were, God anticipates us with his mercy and his compassions and his forgiveness. His compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Before you and I wake up, his compassions are there ready to greet us. But this applies to the truly repentant. It doesn't apply to the one who is still defiant. And so this time of Yom Kippur is a time when we can say to God, I yield to your claims. I take you as my Savior. I have resisted you for too long. I have fought a losing battle with a loving Savior. Now I take you as my Redeemer. He will have compassion on us. And the reason why he can have compassion on us is because, as he says in another prophet, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. He's a merciful God. He cannot deny his mercies to those who lay hold upon him. He will not only have compassion on us, again have compassion on us, but he will also subdue our iniquities. Not only does he pardon our iniquity, verse 18, but in verse 19 he subdues our iniquities. What it means for us is this: he not only forgives that evil disposition, but he anticipates what we're going to say to him. Lord, you've forgiven me, but I've still got that bad heart in me. I've still got that bad disposition in me. And before I know it, I'll be falling into the mud again. Is there no remedy for me? Must it be an endless cycle, a treadmill of miserable existence of sinning, confessing, and sinning again, and confessing again ad infinitum, forever and ever? God says, no, I will not only forgive you for your evil disposition, I will change your evil disposition. I'll give you a new heart. I'll give you a new spirit. You will know me truly. You will come into a living relationship with me. You will be my sons and my daughters, and I will be your Father. That's implied here when he pardons iniquity, but he also subdues our iniquities. In our struggle against sin, as forgiven sinners, we are not left to ourselves. We have two comforters helping us. One of those comforters is Yeshua, our Messiah, who's making intercession for us even now at the right hand of the Father. The other one is the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, who dwells within every true believer, who makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Two comforters. That's why the Lord Yeshua in the upper room said, I will pray the Father and he will give you another comforter. He was one, the Holy Spirit is the other. Without him, we are helpless and hopeless, but he breaks the power of sin. That's in this life. And in the life to come, there will be no more remembrance of our sins. Verse 19 says, you will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. In the life to come, we will remember him as the one who loved us and gave himself for us. We will be saying unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. But sin will be a thing of the past. And it is similar, this language here is similar to the way God overthrew Pharaoh and the army of Egypt when they were pursuing Israel as they walked through the Red Sea. God divided the Red Sea for the people of Israel, and as they walked through, the hosts of Pharaoh came chasing after them, and they turned in panic to Moses, and Moses said, "Don't be afraid. These Egyptians which you have seen today, you shall see them again no more." And sure enough, after they got to the other shore, God brought back the waters of the sea and engulfed all their enemies. And so it is with our sins, like the army of Egypt. We shall see them again no more. They will be a thing of the past. No more remembrance of sins. God says, "I have blotted out as a thick cloud your transgressions. I have redeemed you." In other words, I have bought you back. I have paid the price for your salvation, for your redemption. So by way of conclusion, none so merciful as our God, who is so ready to forgive. It doesn't matter what our sins have been. All he asks is that we should feel our need of him and turn to him and repent. As one godly man said, "We lost a paradise on earth when we fell, but in exchange, God is giving to us a glorious and eternal paradise in heaven." It's a wonderful exchange, isn't it? When we sinned, we lost our title to earthly paradise. But when we are forgiven, God leads us to the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God in heaven. Let us avail ourselves of this mercy in God. Let us say with the prodigal son, "I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned before heaven and before you." One thing we notice in the prodigal son's prayer, he stopped. Why didn't he go on and finish the prayer that he had composed? The second half of his prayer was, "Make me like one of your hired servants." He didn't say that. Why not? And the answer is because of the very greeting that his father bestowed on him. The father saw him coming back, saw his repentance in his very body language, ran to meet him, embraced him, and kissed him. And the son knew by that the father was taking him back into the family. That's why he stopped. He couldn't contradict what his father had said without words. "You are now back in the family." So it is with you and me. You, perhaps, who have not yet made your choice of Yeshua, welcome into the family. God runs to meet us the moment he sees a sign of our repentance. Let us avail ourselves of this mercy. And last of all, let us seek to be like our Heavenly Father. Remember what the Lord Yeshua said, "Be merciful, even as your Father in heaven is merciful."